It's been 3 years since the extremist group Boko Haram kidnapped 270 girls from a school in the Nigerian town of Chibok. You probably remember how that horrified people all over the globe. And then came the social media campaign. You remember hashtag bring back our girls? Well, last October, the Nigerian government secured the release of 21 of those young women. And now the attention that their kidnapping received is working against them.
The peculiar situation they face is one that none of us anticipated. The fact that they will not be allowed to be free, actually free. They're not free because they're too famous to be free.
That's Abuja-based journalist Adobetricia Nobani. She's met with some of the released girls.
The girls are still in government custody because the government is concerned about their safety if they're released to their homes. They say they can't guarantee their safety. They're so famous that anyone could easily abduct them. That's how valuable they are, and ask for ransom or anything else.
Yeah, they haven't been able to return to their homes in Chibok, right?
After they were released, their parents were invited to Abuja to meet with them, with the Nigerian president, and there was a Thanksgiving service and later on a meeting with the president and all that. And then the girls went home for the first time 3 months later in December. I was in Chibok about 2 days before they arrived, and everybody, you know, there was a lot of anticipation. The families had gathered, siblings from far and near gathered to see the sisters they hadn't seen in 2 years and 8 months. But then the girls arrived in Chibok, only to be taken to the house of a top politician there. And the families were informed by the head of the military in that area that he couldn't guarantee the safety of the girls if they went to their houses. So the girls went home for the first time in December, but still weren't able to go to the houses where they lived when they were in Chibok. And since then, their parents haven't seen them.
Yeah, I mean, that alone has got to be somewhat traumatic. You say the girls are famous, but explain that fame a little more, because we're not talking celebrity or popularity here, are we?
The whole world campaigned. We had people like Michelle Obama, we had people like Malala. Everybody spoke out for these girls. But I think the mistake we made was that we focused on just those girls. Prior to the kidnap of the 200 and something girls from Chibok, there were thousands of girls that were kidnapped from all over Northeast Nigeria. Rather than focusing on all the kidnapped girls, the campaign zeroed in on these 200 and something. Their photos and their names were pasted all around Abuja. People carried their posters with their names in France, in New York, all over the world. Everybody, then, so they're famous. I know children who can recite some names of the girls that are missing because of events in their schools. Yes, the focus on these 200 and something girls made them famous in such a way that right now it's difficult. The government can't, they're so valuable that the government can't guarantee their safety if they walk the streets like you and I.
So how much do you blame the Bring Back Our Girls campaign for all of this? I mean, it was an international effort, burned really brightly for some time, but then seemed to die out. Did that drain moral support for the kidnapped girls in Nigeria?
Obviously, the campaign encouraged the Nigerian government to put in more effort to rescue the girls, even the ones that nobody knew were missing. But the thing is, it created difficulties for the girls. Yes, it made their lives a bit better in captivity. Like, I speak with the girls and they say they were treated very well. They were fed regularly. When there wasn't food, the militants apologized to them. They had regular medical care. All their ailments were taken care of, but they were not allowed to be free. Even in the forest, they were kept in secure camps. They weren't allowed to move around like other captives until after they agreed to marry. If they agreed to get married, then they were allowed to be free. So we've created a difficult situation for the girls. So I wouldn't say blame, but then we could do things better. There certainly will be a next time we'll have a similar campaign in this part of the world. And I just think we could have thought better about it, made it broader than the Chibok girls themselves, and focused on a larger issue, which is the fact that girls, thousands, were being kidnapped from their homes in Northeast and schools in Northeast Nigeria.
So before these 21 girls were released last year, there were 10 girls who managed to escape on their own after they were kidnapped, just after. And they made their way to the U.S. with the help of a Nigerian nonprofit group called Education Must Continue Initiative. What's happened to those 10 girls?
Now, these girls were taken to the United States. They spent their time going from church to events, to Congress, to that, to this and that, telling and retelling their stories. The issue was brought to my attention by the counselor who worked with the girls from their first 24 hours. And she's still their confidant. I mean, I've spoken with the girls a few times. And she said they were clearly suffering from the trauma of telling and retelling their stories.
Yeah, not surprising
at
all.
The girls will tell about how people will weep and make donations. And the charity denies that they were using them for fundraising. And they've sued the Nigerian government for making that allegation. But then the government has accused these people of using the girls as merchandise, as using them to raise money. That is an accusation that we can't prove. It's he said, she said territory. But the fact remains that these girls they couldn't focus on their education. And I've spoken with some of the people who were involved in their education. Those people said they tried to get this charity to stop taking the girls out, but then it caused friction all the time. So that's the kind of problems that we've created for these girls. They're such celebrities that somebody prints a poster, oh, there's an event and there's an escaped Chibok girl is coming to speak. And it's a huge thing. It's like having Lady Gaga or something coming.
So most of those girls are now at a reputable community college here in the U.S. How are they doing now? And does anyone at that college know what they've been through?
So they've been taken to a new school, yes. And the school is aware. But then it's been made clear, nothing to do with media, no touring, none of that. But they're doing well, at least a lot better.
So all of this comes as Nigeria's new president, relatively new president, Muhammadu Buhari, has made the war against Boko Haram a priority. But what about this recent episode where he spent nearly 2 months in London on medical leave and said he was there for vacation initially, then he admitted it was for medical purposes? He's 74 years old. What do Nigerians make of this?
Well, we wish him the best.
I hear a certain sense of resignation in your voice, Adobe.
So the fact that he's come back and said, yes, I was ill, it's the most ill I've been in my life, that also shows he's still a man of integrity, still an honest person, the same President Muhammadu Buhari we know. So we're grateful for that honesty, that level of honesty. And of course, everybody wishes him well. But of course, Nigerians will be watching closely and hoping that nothing goes wrong, that we don't have any more drama in this area.
Yeah, well, best of luck there. Adobe Tricia Nobani is a journalist and the author of the novel I Do Not Come to You by Chance. Adobe, great to have you on the show again. Thank you.
Thank you, Marco. Thank you.